Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About. I'm Keith.
And I'm Zach.
And we are coming to you again this morning from the shores of beautiful Paintsville Lake.
This is Pavilion 4.
Pavilion 4, yep.
Same table.
Same table because it's here by the electrical outlet. This is episode number 18, and we are excited to bring this to you. I think this is going to be a great episode. As we get started, want to remind you, as always, of our Facebook page. You can go to that. It is facebook.com/letstalkaboutchristianity.
You guys should follow it. It's pretty great because I designed it, and it's really good.
And Zach had to get his own plug in there.
That's right.
And then go to our website also, letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
Now, Keith designed the website, but it looks really good too, Keith. You did a great job.
Well, it still needs some work, and we're working on it and hoping to bring you better and better things.
But our Facebook and websites are filled with posts now. They have actual posts, blog posts. Our past recordings, some of our past recordings and our recordings, we'll upload one after the episode is aired on Friday mornings at 9. We usually upload the episode for that week.
Yeah, and I know you're tired of hearing me say this because I've been saying it for a month or more now, but we're still working on the podcast thing. That is coming soon. Our email, my email is keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
And mine is zach@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
Okay, so enough of that for now anyway. Hey, Zach, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, right now I'm going to school to be a teacher, Keith.
Well, that wasn't the answer I was looking for, but you know what? I want to be an encourager.
Good segue. Great segue. Great segue.
You know, we think of guys in the Bible like Barnabas, who, you know, that's what his name means, son of encouragement or son of consolation. And, you know, that wasn't even his real name. He was given that name because of the attitude that he had, the way he presented himself. And I think of all the biblical characters outside of the apostles, that right. Barnabas is the guy that I would like to meet. And he seems to have been one of those guys that when you saw him coming, you knew your day was going to get better. Yeah. And it seems as though he did that not just in regard to his Christianity, but his entire life. And, you know, sometimes we look at people like that and we say, man, why can't I be more like that? Why can't I be the kind of person that people want to see coming?
Exactly. And that's the attitude we should take both in our spiritual lives and our personal lives.
So this today's episode, we're looking at that theme. I want to be an encourager. Now, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, and I'm reading this from the New King James as I commonly do, "Therefore comfort one another and edify one another just as you also are doing." Now, interesting thing about that word comfort, some translations actually translate it as encourage, but
my verse does. My translation did.
The word actually means to call to one side. You are calling someone to your side, or you are going to someone's side to help them in a time when they really need some help. And Paul, in writing this to the church at Thessalonica, he's telling them to be encouragers to one another, comforters, exhorters, whatever word that you want to use. And the way they're going to do that is they're going to be at one another's side. So, go ahead, Zach.
And for me, encouragers have been key in my spiritual life. I mean, we talked about this last week, Keith. When I first, a couple months ago, it's been more than a couple, it's been about 6 months ago, the elders came to me and asked me to cut some radio promos.
Mm-hmm.
It went from radio promos to recording a audiobook that I've still yet to finish,
right,
called One Word, and then it went from One Word to preaching, and then from preaching, and now I'm just, it's like a domino effect in my spiritual life. Encouragement has played a huge role.
Right. And, you know, I'm thankful for the encouragement that you have received and thankful that you are willing to jump into this.
The radio program.
Yeah, the radio program.
How could I forget the radio? We're recording the radio program.
And, you know, it's been great for me also. It's been an encouragement to me to see how you've been encouraged. Does that make sense? But.
A little deep.
That's a lot.
I'm tearing up over here.
Yeah, I can tell. Well, you've got your joke book over there.
I do appreciate it, though.
Yeah.
I bought a joke book. It's called More Laugh Out Loud Jokes for Kids, and it's got some of the corniest jokes I've ever heard in my life.
Key words for kids, yeah, it's.
Anyway.
This morning, we are going to give you some biblically based tips in the hopes that you can become an encourager to those who are around you. And Zach, why don't you lead us off there with number one?
The first big one is stop being so negative. Just stop.
Just stop.
Don't be so negative. Proverbs 18, verse 24, and this is coming from the New King James Version. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Perform a negativity evaluation on your social media, and there's a lot of people that need to do this, because every single time I get on my Facebook timeline, sometimes I see posts that are just negative, and they discourage me. Be the type of person that people want to be around. Don't be that person that, when they see you, they're like, well, I really don't want to go over there and talk to that person, because they may say something that's just going to bring my whole day down. Be the type of person that when they see you, they're like, let's go talk to him because he can cheer my day up.
And you know, when you think of doing a negativity evaluation, particularly with social media, and I did this to myself about a year ago. I started saying, you know what, I'm not going to post anything negative on Facebook or Twitter or, you know, anywhere on social media. I'm not going to criticize anyone or anything. Everything that I post is going to be positive. And I'll be honest, I went about 4 months and didn't post anything at all.
You didn't have anything
because
to
I
say.
Didn't have anything good to say, and that told me that that I was using the social media in a negative way,
right.
And that I didn't want to be that guy when you know, someone saw my name pop up on the news feed that they knew it was going to be something negative. Another suggestion. Ask a friend, and you know, you might want to choose the friend wisely whom you would ask. You know, ask them, how do you perceive what I'm posting on social media? How do you perceive what I'm going to say? You know, when you see me coming, are you thinking that you are going to be encouraged or discouraged by my presence? And like I said, you might want to be kind of choosy. You know,
and going back to the negativity evaluation on social media, ask a friend to look at your social media and tell you if the posts that you are posting are negative and discouraging.
And I'm not saying that there is no room on social media for negative things, because
sometimes things need to be said.
Obviously there is, but you know, if notice the trends, pay attention to the trends and evaluate yourself. And you know, probably the wisest advice that could be given, and Zach, you can tell me the author of this quote after I give it, but I'm going to test you and see if you know the author of this quote. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
That's a really easy one, but I don't know.
that probably would be your mom who said that.
Yeah, that's a big one. My mom is always, and she's always said too, you know, you only have one reputation, and it only takes a few bad words to ruin that reputation.
That's true.
And when you become a negative influence in someone's life, if you're constantly bringing them down and stuff, that's your reputation, and people aren't going to want to be around you.
That is true. And I think all of our moms have probably told us that, you know, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Now, granted, not all moms listen to their own advice, but, you know, maybe you could be the example that that they need.
Moms are so wise.
They are. They are. Glad we have our moms.
Okay, so what's the second one, Keith?
All right, the second one that we're going to give you this morning, tips for enabling you to become an encourager. Use your manners. Be courteous.
Amen.
And, you know, as we open the Word of God, you're not going to find that in a verse anywhere. Solomon didn't write it, although he probably could have. You know, Paul didn't write it. Nowhere in the Bible do we find a verse that says, be polite, be courteous. Well, we do find be courteous to one another. But, you know, nowhere are manners mentioned specifically. But I want to take you to Romans chapter 12, and beginning in the latter part of verse 13, the Apostle Paul, hey, Zach, save those notes.
Okay, I was just going to wad it up and put it in the bag.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wanted the note saved. Okay, we're out here at the lake and trash was trying to blow away. So pardon that interruption. Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, at the end of that verse, Paul says, given to hospitality. And I love the way he worded that, because he didn't just say be hospitable. He said, given to hospitality. That tells me that hospitality needs to be a part of our nature. It needs to be our default setting. And he goes on in verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And, you know, it's as simple and as easy as that sounds. I think Romans 12:15 is one of the hardest verses that Paul wrote here within this section for us to follow. But if you're being polite, if you're being courteous, hospitable, mannerly, however you want to put it, people are going to notice, and they are going to appreciate you for that. Okay, Zach, number three.
Okay, share some fruit. And we're not talking about bananas, oranges, apples, you know,
Do you have any?
I don't have any.
Okay.
If I had some, I'd share some with you, though.
We do have some bread, though, that
yes.
some of our listeners kindly gave us some bread this week to feed the ducks.
With a beautiful note.
A very lovely note. And we appreciate that very much, but probably not as much as the ducks appreciated it this morning. But anyway, share some fruit. What are you talking about, Zach?
Well, in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, and we find the fruits of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Verse 23 goes on and says, gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. We should demonstrate all of these qualities in our life every single day.
We should demonstrate them, first of all, because that's what Christ demonstrated in his life. And for us to be Christ-like, we are going to have those same qualities.
And I'll be honest with you, it is hard sometimes to demonstrate these qualities, because life is hard and life brings you down. And it's hard to bring yourself back up and demonstrate things such as love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, and even self-control sometimes.
Self-control a lot of times
self-control is
the hardest
big one.
But I love what Paul said at the end of verse 23, against such there is no law. And, you know, you think of that, you know, think of it in the lawfulness perspective. And, you know, we find laws all the time that are restricting us. And Paul is essentially saying, when it comes to these things, these fruits of the Spirit, there is no restriction. How much love can you give? How much joy can you share? How much peace can you spread? How long can you be long-suffering? You know, and the list goes on and on. No restrictions, no boundaries. The only boundaries on these things are the ones that you place on these things.
Demonstrate with all of your being,
and
or at least try to.
Such a beautiful passage of Scripture, and such a wonderful thing to be exemplified in our lives as Christians.
Okay, what's number five, Keith?
Number four.
Sorry, I can't count.
Okay, so number four, find something kind to say. Now, I know a lot of people like to play games. Some of the games that my kids play, to be honest, sometimes I'm sitting back and I'm going, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And I don't have a clue what they're doing. But, you know, sometimes those games can be fun and they can be very challenging. And I want to say that finding something kind to say can be a challenge.
Yes, it can.
Because there are some people who make it so difficult, and some situations that are so just crazy that, you know, you really struggle to find something kind to say. But Solomon put it this way in Proverbs 25:11: a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. And just
what a beautiful illustration.
Yeah, it's just a gorgeous picture that he gives to us, a table ornament or such, you know, apples of gold. And, yes, we are challenged sometimes to find kind things to say, but, you know, compliment other people.
And it's just basic things like compliment someone's clothing or someone's outfit for the day. Like, you look good. You look snazzy today, Keith, even though you have a T-shirt on with your St. Louis Cardinals jacket.
Yes, well.
And a visor.
I think I look good, but, you know.
Hey.
Tell someone they did a good job. Nobody ever wants to hear, first of all, that hey, you did a bad job. But when people, and it doesn't even matter what it is that they're doing.
Right.
With the preschool, a lot of times we have different jobs like line leader and things like that. And I always try to tell the kids, hey, you're doing a good job, even though all they're doing is, you know, walking from point A to point B. And, their responsibilities as a line leader actually – don't tell them this, but all they're doing is walking first in line. But, you know, tell them they're doing a good job. Now, here's something else that's very difficult for us as we think about telling others that they did a good job or finding something kind to say. Try not to offer constructive criticism. Or if you are offering constructive criticism, don't do it in a critical way. Me personally, I cringe anytime somebody comes up to me and says, can I offer you a little constructive criticism? Because, that's their way of saying, I don't like the way you're doing this, and
right.
I think I know how to do it better. One of the best things that I ever learned, when you have a good idea, if you are able to make the other person think that it's their idea, they're a lot more willing to accept it.
Yes.
Try to restrict that urge that you have to offer constructive criticism, or
just offer your criticism in a uplifting or an encouraging way.
Well, I was going to say don't offer criticism at all, but you can still offer the constructive part.
Right.
And you can still get the point across.
Say,
and,
you know, stuff like, you did a good job doing this, but next time, try this.
And here's something else along with that. Make suggestions.
Oh, yeah.
Because, as we are dealing with people who are negative in their outlook and in their nature, maybe you can say, you know what, I bet you would be good at ... You know, whatever it is.
Yep.
And I bet you would do a good job at that. Or hey, have you ever thought about trying to do this? And there's two ways to look at that. Number one, sometimes people look at it as, hey, you're trying to take a job that you have and you're trying to pass it off on me. But, don't offer it in that kind of way. But, people like to be noticed. People like to have their good qualities, their talents, pointed out, and I'm not saying be flattering for the sake of flattery, but to encourage. That's the whole point of what we are discussing today.
And hey, every encourager that I've ever come in contact with, whether it's in my life or in my spiritual life at church, they've always suggested things. Like you said, they've suggested, well, I think you'd be good at this. Or, well, you know, you did this really good, but next time let's do this, and I think you would do a really good job at that.
Right.
And it's like I said, when you have an encourager in your life, and every Christian has an encourager in their life, no matter who it is. And those encouragers, sometimes maybe they encourage you to fulfill your Christian responsibilities. Or maybe even you were encouraged by that encourager to obey the gospel and become a Christian. That happens oftentimes.
And I suppose what we're trying to do this morning in this episode is to get you to pay attention to the encouragers that you know in your life and try to become one yourself. Now, I want to point this out also as we're talking about this challenge of finding something kind to say. And this kind of goes back to something I said just a moment ago. Don't be insincere in what you are. You know, don't say something kind just for the sake of
saying something.
Don't be vain,
right,
in your flattery of someone else or your kind words. But the encouragers that I know that are the best at it, they notice little things. They're paying attention. Their eyes are open. They know. They know things about you because they are paying attention, and they are able to make their suggestions or bring out their kind words based upon those things that they have observed. So that's a really great challenge. Find something kind to say. Zach, what you got for number five?
Pray with them. And there is much power in prayer.
There is a lot of power in prayer, but you know, the suggestion you're giving is that you offer to pray with someone else.
Right.
And you know,
that's a very uplifting and encouragement movement right there, that when you ask someone to do that.
Well, you know, I suppose at some point in history, somebody somewhere sometime has led a prayer that was a downer.
Right.
to someone
else. I'm
sure
that's happened multiple times.
I'm sure that it has happened, but generally speaking, people are not discouraged by prayer.
They're uplifted, usually.
They are uplifted. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, James wrote and he said, you know, is anyone sick among you? Is anyone suffering? Excuse me. Let them pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. You know, he is giving us those. I'm sorry, my tablet over here went nuts and I got distracted. He's giving us situations where prayer is needed. And how often do we find those situations where, you know, someone needs prayer? But how many times are those people who are in need of prayer not able to find someone willing to pray with them?
And that's just us not fulfilling our responsibilities as an encourager, not being an encourager.
And I want to tell you, as we talk about praying, there are people who are hesitant to pray with someone else.
Yes.
Pray where someone else can hear them. But, you know, as we talk about prayer, it is a very crucial aspect of our lives as Christians. And you know, you might be tempted to say, well, I'm not good at it, or I'm not a speaker, or you know.
And I see that a lot of times with the young people, especially in congregations, and sometimes even some older folks too. But the young generation, it takes them a while to get the hang of things and have courage to do what they want to do.
And courage is a big key to it. But who are you praying to?
You're not praying to them. You're praying to God.
You're right. You're praying to God. And you know, when you think of it in that aspect.
Right.
Let's go back to that that point we just made. I suppose it's happened at some point in history, but generally speaking, people are not discouraged by prayer. Now, Zach, I'm going to share a little story with you, and it'll have to be a quick one. But I had the opportunity to go to a small country church in western Tennessee and fill in for the man who preached there regularly back when I was in school. And it was in Stanton, Tennessee. There was a man in that congregation that could pray the absolute most beautiful prayers that I think I've ever heard in my life. And, you know, those of us who were in school when Brother Elkins was going to be out of town, we were like, oh, I want to go fill in for him just so we could hear this guy pray.
Right.
You know, he was so eloquent and so beautiful in the words that he used. But, you know, as hard as I might try, I don't think I will ever match his ability to be eloquent.
Right. And they're sincere, too. Those types of prayers are so sincere.
But what we've got to remember is that we don't have to be eloquent.
Right.
We don't have to use beautiful, flowery words because we're praying to God, and God is the one who is listening to our prayers.
And that's what people get caught up in when, you know, they'll say, well, I'm just not good at prayer, or I'm just not good at that. God doesn't care if you mess up.
Right.
God doesn't care if sometimes you stutter in the middle of your prayer or anything like that. That he does not care.
Right.
What counts is the thought behind the prayer and the sincerity behind the prayer.
That's right. Okay, let's throw this last point out very quickly.
It's very fitting to close the program too.
If you want to be an encourager, and I want you to pay careful attention to the way that I'm wording this, bring Jesus to someone. Now, I flipped that from the way we normally present
right.
it. You know, normally we say, bring someone to Jesus. Well, that's important.
Right.
But to be an encourager, and perhaps as a starting point to bring someone to Jesus, you may be the one who needs to bring Jesus to them.
Right.
And, you know, I think of John chapter 1 and beginning in verse 40, the guys who were listening to John the Baptist speak and followed him, one of those guys was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41 says, he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah. Now, we know, of course, Andrew brought Peter to Jesus, but if you notice there, he first brought Jesus to Peter.
Right.
And, of course, we know what ended up resulting from that. Listen, if you want to be an encourager, do not miss the opportunities to bring Jesus to someone.
And we do that through our actions and our words sometimes, too, by possessing those fruit of the Spirit qualities.
Absolutely. Okay, so to recap these points that we've given you this morning, if you want to become an encourager, number one, stop being so negative. Number two, use your manners. Be courteous. Be polite.
Number three, share some fruit and not bananas and oranges. Number four, find something kind to say. Number five, pray with them. And finally, number six, bring Jesus to someone.
We want to thank you for listening to our episode today and remind you again, check out our Facebook page, check out our website.
It's really good. You should like it.
And let me throw this out. And I didn't tell Zach I was going to do this, but if you need encouragement, my email is keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
And same with mine, zach@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
Let us know. We will be happy to pray with you. We will be happy to do what we can to bring you some encouragement. Zach, anything to add?
I never do.
You never do. All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.